This time of the year, the days are getting shorter. The leaves have all but fallen from the trees, and the skies are getting grayer. And the church's year mimics the year of nature. You'll notice that our readings this morning speak to us about the last things. So I want to focus our meditation this morning upon death. In our second reading, we heard a passage of St. Paul speaking to the community of Thessalonica about death. And the letter to the Thessalonians is a very important letter, because of all of the books in the New Testament, the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians was the first book in the canon of the New Testament, meaning it was written closest to the time after Jesus departed and ascended into heaven. And what you notice is that already the early Christians are grappling with the question of life after death. We heard St. Paul say, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, concerning those who have fallen asleep, so that you may not grieve like the rest who have no hope." Now, the word "fallen asleep" is a buzzword for Christians. That's how biblically and liturgically we refer to those loved ones who have died in Christ, because we believe that on the last day they will be raised. We've lost this sense. It's not as strong as it used to be in the life of the church. But if you read the New Testament, and you read especially the Apostle Paul, you will see that for them and for us, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is a game changer. It totally changes the way that you and I are called to think about death. Like St. Paul said, we are not called to grieve with like people without hope like the rest of them. People should see us as a Christian community, and the way that we think about death should stand out as distinct from the rest of the world, because we are men and women of hope. Because if Christ has been raised from the dead, then we too will be raised with him. Now, all of us have to face death. There is not a single person in this church that in the next 90 to 100 years, more than likely, will pass from this world. You might be lucky to get a little longer than that. Each one of us will have that moment where the lights go out. Now, we may not know when our Lord's second coming will happen. We know it will, and we wait with hope and longing. But we do know that even if in our lifetime it does not come, we will have our own moment of going before the Lord for judgment, because we will die. Saint Benedict, the father of Western monasticism, told his monks in his rule to hold before the eyes of your mind every day your own death. To hold before the eyes of your mind every day your own death. The monks had a practice which continues in many of the monastic communities to this day, of every day taking a shovel and digging a little bit more of their own grave as a way of preparing them and reminding them that this life here on earth is temporary. We are all pilgrims in exile, making our way to our true homeland with the saints and God in heaven. Think about that powerful prayer of the Hail Mary that many of us pray every day over and over again in the rosary. Over 50 times if you pray the rosary every day. Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We're putting before our mind the reality that we will die, and we're asking for the grace of final perseverance in the graces that our Lord has entrusted to our souls. So the rosary is a very powerful spiritual tool for keeping in mind our death. Now let's take a look at the gospel parable. While in our own day, it's become the custom that we all gather in the church and we wait for the bride to be the last to enter into the church. In the time of Jesus, it was not so. It was the bridegroom who was the last to come. And the bride waited in anticipation for the moment in which the groom would come to her. And it was the practice that when the groom was ready, he would go to the bridesmaids, who would escort him with lighted lamps to the wedding feast to get his bride. Now the analogy should be clear. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom of the church. And us as the church, and as individual members of the church making up the body of Christ, are the bride. That Jesus Christ marries us, the church. That he brings about a union so profound that the two, even more powerfully than in the sacrament of holy matrimony, the two become one flesh. Think about it. Communion, right? We receive his flesh and his blood into our very selves, is a spiritual marriage with God. Because Christ is the groom and the church is the bride. And each one of us are individually waiting for Jesus, the bridegroom, to come and to draw us into the great wedding feast of heaven. But when is the moment where Jesus is going to invite you, into the wedding feast? It's at the moment of your death when he calls you home to himself. At that moment, the bridegroom will come for you at an hour you do not expect, at a time you cannot plan for, because none of us know the moment of our death. When will this happen? Like I said, at our death. But what is our task now? Our task is to prepare, to be vigilant, and to be ready for when the bridegroom comes to take us to himself. What does it mean then to have oil in our lamps? Because we hear in the gospel that those who did not have oil, the door was shut for them. To have oil is many things. It's to have the love of God in our hearts, the wisdom of God. It's to have God himself. To have oil in our lamps is to use the treasures that Jesus has entrusted to us for our salvation. The sacraments, the scriptures, to study them diligently. God only gave us one book. Can you imagine going before him and telling him you didn't have time to read the number one bestseller of all times? I don't think so. It takes 4 hours to read all 4 Gospels. Think of how many sports games we watch in that time frame. How many hours of Netflix we watch, and we don't have time to read the Word of God, God's love letter to us, His children, where He speaks to us as a father with such love and tenderness, instructs us in holy wisdom. Anyways, back to oil and the lamp, sorry. The oil is also love, joy, peace, mercy, and holiness. These are the things that our lamps must be full of. These are the things that matter to be rich in the things of God. So a few recommendations on how to keep oil in your lamps, to keep the grace of God alive in your souls. 1. Be a man and a woman of steady and regular prayer. Keep connected with God on a daily basis. Now, those who know me know I am an avid coffee drinker. I have like 7 cups a day. And I do not get people who don't drink coffee. I just don't understand you. I'm sorry. Just don't get you. But I like to tell people, starting a daily life of prayer can be as simple as sitting down for those of us who like coffee. I don't know if you don't like coffee. I don't know. You can drink water, I guess. And having coffee in the morning with Jesus. And spending 5, 10, 15 minutes reading Scripture, talking to the Lord from your heart. Those two are very important, both of them. To talk to God from your heart and to read Scripture. Because the two of them make up the conversation. St. Augustine said, when we pray, we speak to God. When we read the Scriptures, God speaks to us. You can't hear His word, His voice? Are you living as a man and woman rooted in His Word? Are you abiding in the Word of God so that His truth can set you free? Because He said, my disciples will remain in my Word. 2, stay close to the sacrament of reconciliation. Don't be obsessive about confession. Don't be scrupulous about sin in confession. But go to the sacrament regularly. Every 4 to 6 weeks is a good balance. Or whenever a mortal sin is on your soul, immediately. But go there to experience the Lord's mercy, to be restored into that relationship with Him. We have to face the truth of ourselves, brothers and sisters, that we are weak, that we fall short. But we have a Father in heaven who loves us and who welcomes us back when we repent and we seek Him with contrite hearts. 3, this is the hardest and probably one of the most important. Do not, O Christian, hold grudges and resentments. Deal with your unforgiveness today. Because you do not know the day or the hour you will be called out of this world. And we pray those words which can be our salvation or our condemnation. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There is no room in the heart of a Christian for hatred, for anger. Because God is love. If you have anger or hatred or unforgiveness in your heart, please come to the sacrament of reconciliation and speak with a priest who will be happy to pray with you and to guide you in seeking the Lord's healing to let go. But Jesus demands something of us, and that is we forgive as we have been forgiven. And lastly, like the monks of old, remember that you too are going to die. If you don't pray the rosary, I encourage you to at least pray one Hail Mary a day, asking our Blessed Mother's intercession, and putting before you in those words your own mortality. Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. To remind yourself that we are always waiting and expecting Christ the Bridegroom to come and take us into the eternal wedding feast of heaven. No, we do not know the day or the hour, but here on this earth, we can spend ourselves getting to know the one who is going to come for us, growing in love for him, and experiencing more richly his love for us. Be prepared with oil in your lamps, for the bridegroom will come for you. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.